was alone at a table for two. I said, now's the time to make my move.
Hey, this is Steve Trevino waking up from a nap. I out of it today, man. We partied hard this weekend. I went to lunch at Chili's and then came back, and I was like, all right, I gotta take a nap. So I'm waking up from a nap. I got a couple friends with me right now, hanging out. You probably heard the episode with Jacob. That should have already aired. Jacob's here, but also our friend Javi Luna, very funny comics. He's here. Just wanted to sit down with these guys. This is the first time that I've been able to get these guys on the road. Oh, by the way, again, I'm going to beg like a little bitch. I only have 5 listeners. I'd like to make it 10. So I'd like to get into double digits. If you could please share the podcast, rate it, that always helps. Tweet about it, Facebook about it. Just help a nigga out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right, now that I'm done begging you like a little bitch to fucking tell people about this shitty podcast that I do. So I got Javi and Jacob on the road, and I got to be honest with you, I don't normally take comics on the road from somewhere else. You know, if they don't live in L.A., if they're not at the Comedy Store, if they're not at the Improv in L.A., if they have not made the move, I don't normally take them on the road. But these guys have a special place for me. Jacob Rodriguez, you heard the episode. If you haven't heard the episode before this one, you should. Then you get a little history on how Jacob Rodriguez and I met. And then Javi Luna, how long have I known you, Javi?
About as long as I've been in comedy, 4 years, man.
Yeah, you've only been doing comedy 4 years?
Yeah, and I'm
speak up.
Yeah, I hosted for you like after a month and a half or something like that. And so, yeah. That
speak up.
Time.
Talk louder.
Okay.
I can't believe you've only been doing stand-up for 4 years.
Yeah.
Wow, good for you, man. Javi's really funny. He's doing really well. And you're starting to get on. You performed with Paul Rodriguez yesterday.
Yeah, I was actually coming this way. I was in Las Cruces with Paul Rodriguez.
And that's kind of what happened was, you know, I needed somebody to come and host and open, and I called Jacob and Javi, and then Javi said, "Well, man, I have to be in Las Cruces on Friday anyway." And then Jacob was like, "Fuck it, man, I'll go. I need a break from the wife and the kids." And you know, we came up and we've just had a blast. One of the things I want to talk about is you know, we haven't had a chance to talk to Javi about what got you into stand-up. What was your influences? How was it growing? Were you always the funny kid, you know?
Yeah, man, I was, I think like a lot of us, I was the class clown a lot. And I've always been a talker. I could talk. So class clown, I never got the principal's office or anything, so I could always talk my way out of things.
Right.
Public speaking always came easy. But I never thought about doing stand-up. I was always a fan of stand-up. You know, Comedy Central
as
a kid, on my television 24/7 in my dorm room. Never thought about getting on stage.
Where'd you go to college?
I went to St. Mary's University in
San Antonio. Oh, very cool.
Yeah, I used to go check out the late night River Center free show, sneak in my flask of Canadian Mist and watch the comics.
Nice. Is it cool that you're now like some of those comics? You're now, you know them.
Yeah. Some of them I know them. Some of them have gone on, and some of them have gone away. And
right.
it's kind of neat to see, but
when was it that you were like, okay, I want to go on stage? Like,
what it was is I got asked to MC a benefit, a fundraiser for the Child Advocacy Center in Corpus Christi. So I used to work for Child Protective Services.
Okay.
So I knew a lot of the people. They're like, oh,
you have a degree in psychology or?
No, my degree's in theology. But I mean, there's so many kids in the state of Texas, they'll take anyone with a 4-year degree.
Sure.
You know, and they'll train you up on what you need to do.
Right.
So I used to do that. So I knew a lot of the people. I was the cut-off.
Well, let's get into theology for a minute. Why theology?
I was a good Catholic boy growing up, man. The altar boy.
Were you going to be a priest?
Everything. I wanted to do like youth group leading. I wanted to work within the church. I didn't want to be
a priest
per se.
You like pussy too much.
Yeah, there we go. I give up.
That happens. Yeah.
Are you involved now with the church?
No, I'm not actually. I hold on to my ideologies as a Catholic, but I don't go to church on the regular or anything right now. Personally, I have my own personal reasons. There's a lot of politics in the church, and it can wear you down and distract you from why you should be there.
Oh, dude, my mom's in the Guadalupanas, you know, and oh my God, dude.
Yeah, Guadalupanas. Catholic daughter.
Oh, she's always calling me going, oh my God, you're not going to believe what she did. And I'm like, you guys are all in church. What the fuck?
Everybody
you
know? Judging the shit out of each other.
Oh my God, dude.
And I'm not going to lie, it's about who writes the biggest check, you know, gets on the church council.
Right.
Gets to say how
things are done.
It's not always necessarily the best thing.
So you go to St. Mary's. You grew up in Corpus Christi.
Grew up in Corpus Christi. Born and raised.
And then you said, all right, I got a scholarship, or how did it go down?
Yeah, I was actually supposed to go to a really super conservative Catholic school. I was supposed to go to University of Dallas. I had already gone up there my junior year and received
Checked
a scholarship
it out
from there. And my parents, you know, I was a mama's boy, I'm not going to lie.
Titty baby.
She's like, well, you should check out some schools closer to home. Dallas is like, you know, at the time, the speed limit was more as like an 8.
No, yeah, but I would, you know, look, as a parent, I would agree. It's like, look, you still get to be away.
Yeah.
But so, if you need to come home, you're an hour and a half away. You know what I mean? Like,
not fucking 8
hours.
Right.
Like, spring break of my senior year, just to get her off my back, I was like, you know what? There's two schools in San Antonio. I'll go for a visit. I'll go check out Our Lady of the Lake. I'll go check out St. Mary's. And I just dug the vibe, man. It was Catholic, but it was laid back at the same time. It wasn't in your face.
Catholic.
Yeah, normal
Catholic. Exactly. Everybody Whereas University of Dallas, if you come here, you have to go study a semester in Rome.
Wow.
That was mandatory.
That'd be kind of cool, though.
It would have been cool.
So then you get back to Corpus. When do you meet your wife?
I met my wife the summer after my freshman year in college. I came back to Corpus for, you know, to do nothing for the summer. Was basically drunk for 2.5 months straight.
Sure.
And some friends of mine had gone on a trip. I didn't have nothing to do. And I met her at a Whataburger.
At a Whataburger? Yeah. Nice, dude.
Yeah.
And you just went and started talking to her?
Yeah, we just started talking to her. Got the number. I got her AOL. That was the thing at the time. Instant Messenger.
Yeah, but you're not doing stand-up at this point.
No. I didn't start doing stand-up until I was already married.
Right.
And had my first child.
Salute.
How did she feel about it? Like, what was her, you know, I mean, she talked about it, right?
She like, oh, about stand-up?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's down with it, right? Because it's been a gradual thing. Like I said, when I started it, I was just like, oh, I'm going to go do this benefit. And you know, it's addicting. As soon as you get the first laugh, you start wanting to go. I started looking for open mics, and found the only two that we got there in Corpus Christi.
Yeah.
And then turns out we had a comedy room. It was a one night room. Started going there and just hanging out, watching the shows. Got to know the guys that run it. They saw me a couple times at the open mic, and then I just started. I basically hosted there for a year plus straight,
right,
every Friday. So I was getting up 3 times a week, which in Corpus
was enough to
make me fall in love with it.
I'm just happy. And then I feel like there's a scene in Corpus now. When you were there starting out, were there already comics?
When I started out, there was about 6 guys that were doing it. And when I say doing it, we were going up at music open mics. In between the bands, sometimes after all the bands had gone up.
Right.
There was times we were going up with the lights coming on. Last Call had already come up and chairs were being stacked and, you know.
Right, and you're still doing your shit.
Right. And I was the only one hanging out at the club at the time. There was no comedy open mic, so.
Well, and John Roman was there, right?
John Roman was there, and he
Gators was going on,
he was,
right?
He was busy running. It was the Vent at the time. They were bringing people in, and they brought you in for a special event. That's where I met you the first time.
Yeah, I remember meeting you, and then I think shortly after that, Jacob started, right?
Yeah, he actually started his open mic.
Yeah, you had an open mic in Flower Bluff or somewhere, right?
No, on the south side.
Right.
Did Steve told me to start?
Well, I just, you know, look, man, my advice to you is, you know, make it, you do it yourself.
Right, right.
You know, if there's not an open mic, walk into a bar and go, hey, we want to do comedy here. Can we do it? You know, and usually yeah, that's pretty easy because bar owners are like, yeah, man, you know, I'd love for an extra 10 people in here every Tuesday. Yeah, you know, fucking A, you know what I mean? So, yeah. Yeah, that was some of the advice I gave you. And I know that John Roman kind of gets a little worried about that kind of thing. And I understand where John Roman's coming from. You know, it's like, you know, Corpus is only so big. So if you're bringing, but an open mic, it's like,
yeah,
well, who the fuck are you taking
the good thing about that is I started mine, and like I said, I got it, I guess, I pushed it out. They're pretty good. And a lot of first-time guys in comedy said, oh, I saw there's a mic here. I always wanted to do it. They came out, and they did it. And then like a month later, the comedy club actually started their own open mic, which brought even more people into it. And, of course, you know, at that stage, a lot of them were hobbyists. They weren't really sure if they wanted to do it, so they weren't going to do two nights a week. So they gravitated towards the comedy club, as you should, because that's the one.
But again, it's like what a shame, because it's like you have an opportunity to have another mic, but you wanted to hang out at the comedy. Comics have a bad fucking attitude, man, and it's like, you know, oh, you know, I'd rather hang out here at the club, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's a real comedy club, so that makes me a real comic. That doesn't make you a real comic.
Right.
You know, when you move to L.A., dude, it's fucking, the Comedy Store is your last hope for an open mic. Everything else is in some bar, some restaurant, some fucking guy put together. You know, those are the open mics you're doing.
Right, we are.
Right, so then you got these guys in Corpus who are like, oh, I only hang out at the comedy club. Like, you're a fucking moron, man. Mm-hmm. You know, you should be doing open mics everywhere.
Because they see it as a way to get on the weekend shows, right? Which again, they feel legitimized.
No, sure. Look, I think they should be doing the open mic at the comedy club.
They should do both.
But they should be doing both, right.
And there's been other ones that there's been other attempts by other folks, you know, and they've been short-lived. Or whatever, and we've talked about setting up clean mics, restaurant type things. And I mean, I got a pretty decent working relationship with John Roman. I don't think he feels like I step on his toes too much. I know Jake and I do a lot of our own stuff there in town.
Well, and a lot of the thing too is. You know, just communicating.
Right.
You know, letting him know, hey, man, this is what we're doing. This is what's going on. You know, because you don't want to be fighting against the comedy club. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
No, not at all.
You're gonna cannibalize your market in Corpus. So, yeah, it's okay to do something here and there. But, you know, you got to communicate with the club owner so that if you're drawing people, he knows who to book. And he goes, okay, well, Javi and Jacob, you guys do the Vatos Locos of comedy. All right, I know the crowd that they're going to get. I'm going to bring in fucking John Stringer, who's white. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, you know, it just gives them the opportunity to kind of know what's going on. And, you know, and I agree with John Roman. I agree that you know, you can't just willy-nilly go out and do comedy. It's like, hey, man, I'm trying to get something going here. It's not even that successful yet. And yet you're trying to get your hands in the same bucket. Right. You know what I mean?
And I think John goes off, you know, sometimes. And I think a lot of times people think a lot of the stuff that he posts is directed at me or Jacob. But the thing is, there's been a lot of pop-up people trying to do these indie shows. And they're just horribly run.
Right.
You know, they're not booking.
It's not a good show.
Good overall, comics. They're not setting up the room properly.
Right.
You know, and it you know, there's this belief of just killing comedy with bad shows, you know, because, you know, someone stumbles in and I went to a comedy show down the street and it was crap. So why would I go to the comedy club? Evidently, there's no good comedy in this town.
No, but but at the same time, it's like, Corpus doesn't have a real comedy club.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, Chuckles is not a comedy club. You know, it's still, to me, it's just a room.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you have a room.
Right.
Do you book comics on a regular basis? Yeah, but you have a room. It's not a comedy club. You know what I mean? The lighting's bad. You know what I mean? The stage is tiny. You know, right. So it's not. It's like you're not a comedy club yet. You know what I mean? And they're working on one. You know what I mean? Yes. So then you were like, okay, man, I gotta do this shit. Like, I like it.
Yeah, I was hooked. I wanted to do it more and more, and then little opportunities started to present themselves. As far as, you know, Texas got its own little scene.
Right.
You know,
Houston, San Antonio. Houston,
you know, John Roman was nice enough. Like I said, he invited me out to do your show. He gave me a chance to open for Felipe Esparza. And those little things in a small scene like Texas, even though Texas is huge, everyone pays attention to that.
Sure.
So from there, people started friending me on Facebook, and Mario Salazar hit me up. Hey, I got a room down here. Do you want to come host? And
you want to hang out with the Valley Kings of Comedy?
Right. So I started going down there. And,
let me give you some words that only we use.
and went down there, and that was the first time I did a 25-30 minute set on stage, and I got to work with, you know, some cool people, Thea Vidal and Olivia Arrington, and some.
And then I see that they have the funniest person in Corpus contest. That cracks me up.
Is
the winner.
Chuckles hosts two contests a year, because contests bring in a lot of money.
Right.
And they host the Last Texan Standing, which is supposed to be a statewide contest.
And it's not. That's in Corpus?
It's in Corpus. It's in Corpus. I won the first one that they put on.
Uh-oh, we got a winner here.
Contest, a two-time contest winner.
Two-time contest winner here, buddy.
Don't worry, that was 3 years ago. The head, the swelling in the head's gone. Yeah,
it's gone already?
Gone way, way down. Way down.
Put that on your resume.
Right. Had it on there. But you know the nice thing about it, though, is it did make people listen to my set, like other comics.
Right.
They're like, oh, he won. Let me see how bad he sucks. I bet he's horrible. Because
He's a local.
And they're like, oh, okay, well, you know.
I didn't think it was funny.
That wasn't horrible. You know.
Should have been a priest.
Right. Then I might have listened. Yeah.
So that's good, man. I mean, it's exciting that you guys are here, and you know, I told Jacob last episode, I go, ask me any question you want, and he came up with like one.
Yeah, I was like, yeah.
So I'm gonna ask you the same thing. Ask me any question you want, and we'll get into whatever you want to talk about.
Okay, just
whatever you want to talk about.
He's a smart motherfucker. I don't have a degree.
I don't have a degree.
Questions. I fucking in school. I was like, I ain't asking shit.
Yeah, I don't want to know fucking anything. Hand.
Yeah, I don't want no shit. I'm good.
Oh, I mean, one of the things I think I've heard you say before, but if you weren't doing comedy, what would you imagine you do? Because like me and Jake, we have daytime jobs.
Right.
So we know if there was no comedy in our life, what we're doing.
I don't know. I honestly, I used to go, well, maybe I would have been a teacher, or, you know, but school was never for me. You know, but now, dude, I look back on it, I'm like, you have a degree? This dumb motherfucker, right? Like
oh, it's showing up. You'd have been like, I train you!
Goddamn, boy, you know, but you look at some people, you're like, you have a fucking degree, you know?
They hand them
it's
out,
it's not too hard to get one.
I don't know, man, I, you know, to be honest with you, I don't know, I do know this, I'll tell you this, I would be rich and successful at any other job already.
Right.
You know, if I worked at fucking Walmart or McDonald's or any of these corporate places, I could outwork fucking anybody.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and I have more common sense than most of these motherfuckers. So that's frustrating to be in this business, to be in it as long as I've been in it and work as hard on it as I have and to still not have the success that other comedians get because of the fact that Hollywood doesn't know what we are. You know, and you've heard me talk about it on the podcast where, you know, that was a great thing that you told me that Paul Rodriguez was making a big deal about it on a TV station. So I'm gonna reach out to Paul here in the next few months and see if I can't get him on the podcast. Because, yes, you look at somebody like Paul and go, man, that guy's had, you know, he's in movie after movie. Oh, yeah. And, you know, right. I mean,
40 years.
That guy's had a huge career.
He was talking about the same frustrations. I'm one of the five fans of the podcast.
Right.
So I listened to all of them, and I've heard you talk about it, and he was talking about it, too. He goes, I go for a part, and all the same guys are there. He goes, I'm there, and he said, you know, he goes, Paul, you know, Edward James Olmos is there,
right?
And it's the same part we were reading for 20 years ago. It hasn't
right.
It hasn't changed, and it's frustrating, and it's a sad fact that Latinos are the largest minority ethnic group in the country. In
the country and where, yeah.
And there's no representation.
So it's so that's what's frustrating. You know what I mean? And there are times that I'm like, dude, I could be fucking living a great life, you know, not being on the road, not struggling in this business, where I could be. I don't have a horrible life. You know, I make good money. I pay the bills. You know, and I'm starting to make more and more money as my career continues to move forward. But it's a struggle, man, and it's me working, you know, super super harder than the next guy. And you know, I mean, you got TV shows being handed out to 28-year-olds, you know, and it's like, this guy's white, you know. It's like, when it's just, so it's frustrating. So there is those moments where I'm like, man, you know. And I was talking to Jacob about this yesterday or the day before, I forget, it's all kind of melded together this week.
I know. I was like, wait, what were you talking about?
But we were talking about how, you know what, man, it's great that he has the family and the wife and the kids and the home and a steady job, and then you get to come and hang out with me and do stand up. You know what I mean? And you're lucky to have that friend. A lot of people don't have a friend in the business that they can go, hey man, I'm gonna call Trevino, take a little vacation. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right.
So, you know, for you guys, you know, I think it's one of those deals where it's like, it's already almost impossible to make it. You know, and you live in Corpus Christi, Texas.
Right.
Not in LA, not in New York. So, you know, become a big part of the comedy scene in Corpus Christi. You know, sneak away and open for Paul Rodriguez when you can. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I, you know, those are your little vacations of. So you know, you still get to have the white picket fence and the wife and the kids and coach Little League and go to Boy Scouts and you know what I mean.
Right.
So you still get to have that, and that's very difficult for me in my life. You know, my wife's pregnant right now, and I want to be home. You know, I want to be with her. As her belly grows, and you know, be there to help her with whatever, but I can't. I'm on the road. You know what I mean? And I have a nice house. You know, and I tell my wife, I'm like, man, like, dude, I have this nice fucking house. It's all here for you.
Yeah, you're never there.
I'm never there. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm on the road.
Yeah.
Doing what I got to do. So you know, you just got to find a place that you yourself are good with.
Yeah, you got to accept it yourself, man. That's,
right, you guys have to go, look, I'm not going to be rich and famous. I'm not going to, you know what I mean? Like, I'm going to be here in Corpus Christi. And the good news is, look, man, if you guys do the right things in Corpus, yes, take, you know, a lot of people don't know this, Rex Gabriel's a stand-up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know, Rex Gabriel was a stand-up. Somebody saw him perform and go, hey, man, you'd be great on our radio station.
Mm-hmm.
Guy has a great career,
yeah.
And he gets to talk shit every day like a stand-up.
Well, you know, like I remember you told us this before, and I remember when you told me that I was like, thank you for shitting on my dream, Steve. That was great. What you're doing right now, but it's cool. But I accepted it. I do a lot of thinking.
Right.
You know, about that, because man, I'm old school where you're just like, man, I got kids. What the fuck am I doing? What the fuck am I doing here in El Paso for 5 days?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Could I do that every week? Fuck no. I couldn't. You know what I mean? But like you're saying, like, hey, you go over there, whatever, take a little vacation. That's great.
Right.
And do like you had told us, you said, you love comedy, you love doing it. Do you want to maybe do it or be in business for 20 years? Radio, comedy club, all that other stuff. And you know, that's a great idea, dude. And to be honest with you, like for me, it's like, that's what's going to make me happy. I can lean towards that, you know. It's more for me. It's more about happiness. Could like even coming here.
It's quality of life too.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like coming here, it's like fuck, dude. Oh, I love it. I've had a blast. And then it's like, oh shit, man. My kids are at the house. My wife. So you know that missing part, like you are. So it's like, like you said, that fine. We got to wait out, dude.
You
know?
Well, and I truly believe that if you guys continue on the path that you're on. You know, there'll be something in Corpus for you guys.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's, you know, but you got to go get it. You know, you got to go, hey, man, I want to compete against Rex. I want to be on a morning show. You know, so what are you doing to make that happen? You know, are you walking into Convergent, his competition, and saying, hey, me and Jacob want to be here doing a morning show. Mm. We'll do it for free. We don't give a fuck.
Right.
We just want to be funny on your show.
I've been telling those motherfuckers for over a year now.
But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No,
I want to be on your show.
Right.
You know, hey, 94.7 Texas Country. Hey, man, we love Texas Country, and we want to be on your air. Tell me what to do. Well, you know, we'll come in and do afternoons. Me and Jacob will be here every day from 5 o'clock to 9 o'clock doing afternoons with you. You know, and then sit for free. Who's going to say no?
Right.
You know what I mean? You tell them, look, show me how to run this board. And yeah. Javi and I will come in here, and we will, and Jacob and I are going to come in here, and we're gonna fucking do a show. And guess what? All of a sudden you start making ratings. All of a sudden, you know, then guess what? There's another radio station calling going, hey, we're willing to hire you guys.
Yeah, just how you did comedy.
Yep, just like you did comedy, man. Thing, man. You know, yeah. So, you know, I mean, that would be, in my opinion, the best case scenario for you guys. You know what I mean? Because you're going to make it. You could. You're both talented. You know, but then it's moving to L.A., moving to New York. Mm-hmm. You know, trying to get into the scene, getting an agent, getting a manager. I mean, it takes a long, you know what I mean?
Oh, sure.
So, you know, it's tough, man, and it's hard, but in my opinion, you guys have it better than me.
Well, I think, too, that there's levels, you know, because, I mean, like me, I don't plan on, the way I think about it, too, is like, I probably won't be like a traveling comic, you know, and do it. I'm leaning towards, I want to do more of that shit, like radio or something like that.
Well, it's funny because I'll tell you this, dude. I was at a party. It was like a daytime kind of a deal. And I don't know if you guys know who Dana Gould is.
Mm-hmm.
You know who Dana Gould is?
Yeah.
He's a comic. Mm-hmm. Simpsons.
Yes.
Okay. And I always talk about this. Like, any party ever, even if you don't know the comic personally, comics find comics. And if you go to a party and there's comics there, all the comics are hanging out together, mm-hmm. right? Always. So I'm there and I see Dana. And I don't know Dana. You know what I mean? And I see him and I'm like, and he starts walking over to me and he's like, it's Steve Trevino, right? I'm like, oh shit, right? And he's like, you're a comic? I'm like, yeah, man, what's up, man? Nice to meet you, blah, blah. So now we're at this party and the two comics are in the corner, right? This is what tripped me out. And this is what I thought was interesting. Here you have a guy who is very successful. Simpsons, I mean, the guy has money, you know. He goes, man, I gotta go on the fucking road next week, man. And I was like, oh, really? And he's like, yeah, I gotta fucking, man. He's like, I'm doing 13 dates this year. You know, I gotta make my money, man. I don't have a choice. You know, he's like, I gotta get that income, man. And he's like, God, the fucking road. And then I gotta count the room because I got a door deal and I gotta make sure. He's like, fuck it all. And I'm like, yeah, and they always fuck you. And you know what I mean? I left that conversation thinking to myself, it doesn't end.
Yeah.
All right.
It doesn't end for us. We're always going to be on the road.
Yeah.
There's no way around it.
Look at Paul Rodriguez in New Mexico. Fuck.
Yeah, 40 years later, Paul Rodriguez is in New Mexico doing stand-up. You know what I mean? It never ends.
Right.
You know? I mean, hopefully I can get a TV show, sitcom. Still going to tour.
Right.
You're telling me I'm going to say no to fucking $2 million extra a year when I can take care of my nieces and nephews and family and, you know what I mean?
Right, like, hell yeah.
Of course I'm going to go on the road. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, hopefully I can take my wife, my kids during this, you know. But it's, you know, when you're, I'm talking to Dana Gould and he's like, I got to go on the fucking road. And I'm like, fuck, dude. There's no way, you know what I mean? There's just no way around it.
Right. Yeah, you're going to have to go. You're going to have to fucking travel. That's part of the job.
You have to.
Yeah.
You know, so it's being, and I didn't know that, you know, and when I first started, all I wanted to do was be on the road. I was like, man, I can't, you know, I want to be on the road, man. I'd be fucking on. And it was awesome.
Yeah, fuck yeah. You're young, dude. Going.
And then it's awesome now, you know, when everything in between sucks, then you get on that stage in a different town. And those people are like, oh my God, I want to take a picture with you. Let's go hang out. And man, and then you created a new bit or you said something really funny that night. Man, you love it again. And you're like, God, it's fucking worth it, man.
Yeah.
I fucking love it. You know what I mean? So it's you know, it's not all bad. You know what I mean? Being on, man. They always say they don't, you know, comics say that you pay me to travel. That's what you're paying me for. Yeah. You're not paying me to do what I love. All
right.
You're paying me to fucking leave my house and come over here.
Yeah.
That's why you're paying me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, that was a good question. 20 minutes ago.
I know, right?
What other question?
Go ahead. Well, I don't
what was
know,
the
I,
first
I,
question?
What else would you be doing?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was right. Well, you know, I think Jake and I talk about this a lot because we, like you said, we started later. We had already had our families. And sometimes there's that wish, you know, oh, man, what if I would have done this
I wish I would have done
earlier? What do I would have known that this is what I love to do when I was
like
19, 20? Right. Like you do. And then part of me thinks because our family lives and everything are such a huge part of our acts, like, and trying to go back in time and think, what would I have talked about? What would I have said that if someone wanted to listen to?
Well, it's funny because it's, you know, when I see young comics, I can almost say their punchlines.
Yeah.
Right.
Because I'm like, what are they talking about? Drinking.
Fucking.
You know how many fucking.
Trying to get laid.
You know how many comics had the fucking girls' night out
right.
bit?
Yeah.
I had a girls' night out bit. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I see.
You know what that age,
right? Yeah. Shit. You know these bitches.
Yeah.
You know they always got a head bitch. You know, it's true. Yeah. You know what I mean? You know, girls pee outside in the parking lot. I mean, we all had those. So I watch them and I'm just like, you know, and it's funny to me that sometimes you get these young comics. They're like, man, I hope Mencia doesn't come in here and steal my bits. I'm like, dude, you suck. And he's smarter. He's not gonna steal your fucking girls' night out bit. You know what I mean? But that's you know, I talked about being drunk and early on for me, a lot of it was what I knew, and it was growing up Mexican.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and a big influence on me was Paul Rodriguez and George Lopez and Mencia, and that's what they talked about.
Yeah.
So that's what I talked about. You know what I mean? And but I not to date myself, but I think race humor in the 90s, early 2000s was popular.
Oh, sure.
You know what I mean? Black guys were doing the, you know, black people crazy.
Oh, dude,
you know what I mean?
Right.
And that was, Def Jam. That was kind of where people were.
Right.
You know what I mean? In the 80s, it was, that's the first time things got filthy.
Right.
You know, Dice and Kinnison and all these guys brought these fucking aggressive sex, fucker in the ass jokes. You know what I mean? And
right.
That was
and
it. And then,
religion.
Right. You know, then, so in the 80s, you know, when that was over in early 90s, then it turned into race, you know, black this, white that, you know what I mean? So, you know, I was doing a lot of that, you know, and I think now it's coming around. I think now it's changing to the fact of, you know, being a good storyteller.
Right.
Talking about life. You know what I mean?
Yeah, relatable shit.
Making things relatable, you know, so it's just kind of you see it kind of progressing, but yeah, you would have just talked about whatever you knew at the time. You know what I mean? And you're right. I mean, look, dude, you can't go back in time. You know, I can't go back in time. You know, people ask me all the time. They're like, if you didn't open for Mencia, you know, what would you do different? I'm like, at this point, I don't know what I would do different. You know, maybe skip high school and go to the fucking comedy store. You know what I mean? And work the door there. But, you know, you are where you are in your stand-up career. And that's a lot of the problem with not being okay with where you're at. Because then you hate all these young kids that are coming up, you know, and
resentment,
you
know,
you have resentment towards them, and instead of encouraging them and saying, hey, man, don't get that family. You know, you're fucking 19, you're 20, go to L.A., you want to do this? Go. That's what I try to do.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I try to do on this podcast where I go fucking go do it.
Right.
Yeah, don't get
kids.
Yeah,
we got some young cats in Corpus right now. I mean, talking about 19, 20.
Yeah, which is badass. Old,
and they were talking about going to L.A. They want to do it. Some of them have some
good
jokes and plans. I was like, you
but
know,
you're 20. There's no plans.
I know. That's what I said. I was like, fuck,
what do you need?
Run.
You don't need anything.
I didn't plan on the fucking army. I just fucking went in.
Right. You just go. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, that's y'all's job to go, hey, man, go, guys. Go
yeah,
do it, man.
That's what we do, man.
We try.
You know?
Whether or not they listen is another thing.
Because
we're not
be
exactly anybody to listen to in their eyes or in truth. But, you know.
It's just a tough business, you know, and I feel like if you guys can niche out a niche in a living in Corpus Christi, Texas, entertaining, it's a great life, man.
Definitely.
You know, Rex Gabriel's a celebrity.
Oh, no doubt.
You know what I mean? He goes to all the concerts for free. He fucking knows everybody. You know what I mean? Like, he drinks for free. I mean, he's got a great life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But he still has a home to go to every night.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so, I think
it's just got to be what you want.
I mean, I'm real impressed with Sarah Acosta.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm very impressed with her, man. She, when I first met her, was about 4 or 5 years ago, and she was doing...
Friday night.
Not even that.
No, she was just writing the entertainment section.
Oh, okay. Doing a web report.
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
That's right. And she hit me up herself and was like, hey, I do this web thing and blah, blah. Can I please interview you, you know? And I said, yeah, absolutely. And she came out and I got to meet her. And now all of a sudden I'm like, holy shit, she's like the on location.
Hardcore, dude. She's up there.
She's doing great. And I've even seen you know, the Facebook talk where people are like, we might like to see her.
They're hard chargers.
Anchor.
Right on the desk. You know? Right.
Yeah.
They're hard chargers, dude. Yeah. This is the girl, Amanda, man. You've got Amanda. That's cool to see. You've seen this girl.
Oh, man. Amanda,
she's working for CNN right now.
Amanda Jackson.
I mean.
She's a comedy fan.
Hardcore.
I'm guaranteeing she's been through probably more than a handful of your shows. She used to come to all our shows.
She's from Corpus?
She's from Corpus, man. And I'll say this because...
What's her name?
Because she's Amanda Jackson. And she's always been... She's inspirational, man. Because she's been... And I'll say it because she's been open about it. You know, it's not a secret. She, at one time in her life, she was addicted to crystal meth. Got herself cleaned up. She took herself to school.
Went to Del Mar.
Went to the four-year school. Got an internship at CNN.
She's at CNN.
And now she
got hired on, right?
She's doing social media. Yeah, the digital media.
But like, dude, it was just... But she did that.
Is this her?
Yeah.
That's her.
She worked for Channel 6 for a while. She all interned. Like you said, if I could put my foot in the door and let me do this.
Right,
and
let me figure it out. Sure.
That's what you got to do. You got to put your foot in the door. And dude, it's pretty impressive, man. Like, no shit, dude.
And that's kind of my thing too, guys. It's like, you go and create this radio show. And I've talked to Jacob about it before. I was like, man, you guys should have a radio show. But then you have to start figuring out, you know, that's a different muscle. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
No, definitely.
One of the things that Rex did and still does is he was out doing crazy shit. You know, duct taping himself to telephone poles and, you know, doing stuff in town that got people's attention, you know, other than just being funny on the radio.
Right.
You know, he does turkey bowl, you know, hey, Thanksgiving, we're going to do frozen turkeys and we're, you know, still happy. You know what I mean? So, you know, being creative and creating these opportunities for you in your town, you know what I mean? And going, hey, I still get to be in the entertainment business. I still get to do comedy. And every once in a while, I get to go open for Paul Rodriguez or Steve Trevino.
Right.
You know, fucking life's good, man.
Oh,
you know?
Definitely.
Hey, Steve's going to book me in fucking Phoenix. I'm going to bring the wife and kids because we get a free hotel room. And the kids want to see Phoenix. You know what I mean? So, great. You know?
What date is that, by the way? Guys, we're going to go on vacation.
Yeah, but there are guys like that, right? In that conversation. Guys, you said he's going to put me in Phoenix, guys.
But that's one of the reasons I do have a great life, too, is because, dude, I've been to Miami a million fucking times.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I've been to Tampa, Florida a million times. I've been to New York City a million times. I've been to Chicago. You know what I mean? So, you know, and my wife gets to come. If my wife wants to come, she can come. You know what I mean? Which is another thing that I wanted to talk about, too, is the fact that, you know, I was talking to a comedian friend of mine, and he's like, man, when I go on the road, I get all fucked up, dude, because my wife, you know, she doesn't let me and blah, blah. And I go, dude, for me, nothing changes. If my wife's here, I'm still doing my shows exactly like I do them, and I'm still having drinks at the bar, but now it's just with my wife.
Right, she's there.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, nothing changes. I'm still the fucking drunk. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Well, other than now she's pregnant, we can't. I lost my drinking buddy.
For a while.
What else, Javi? See, when I put you on the spot.
Yeah, it's hard. I'm not gonna lie.
I feel like such a dick too. You guys are gonna want to ask me questions. And you're like, no, we don't, dude. We really don't. We don't have anything to fucking ask you. How was it opening for Paul? Was he nice? This is the first time you had met him.
First time I met him. For first time I performed with him. You know, he was a nice guy. You know, he's definitely one of those guys that doesn't turn off when he's around people. I got to see him early morning, so he's, you know, kind of just waking up. But as soon as he got on the phone for his first interview, man, the guy was a ball of fire, man.
Professional.
And yeah. Oh, definitely. And he's always just cracking jokes.
Well, how was it for you to work with Paul Rodriguez? Like, you know what I mean? Like, how was it for you to be like, holy shit? Like,
I think, you know, with because of the way I started, because it wasn't like, I want to be a stand-up. It was more like, oh, someone asked me if I would come tell jokes at this thing because they think I'm a funny guy.
Dude, right.
You know, and then, like I said, I got hooked, and it's always, for me, comedy's always been I'll see what happens. You know, I'm going to go to this open mic, and it might be something fun. It'll get me out of the house, you right. know, a night or two a week. You know, oh, hey, the John Roman asked me if I would host the show, and I'll go do that.
Right.
I'm gonna start doing that every week now, and then you know, I kind of feel like kind of a dude, like I'm just kind of walking into this blindly, but really what it is, I've never had any expectations from it. Of course, I want the world, you know, but
well, that helps too, you know. I think Jesus has kind of the same attitude, right. Where he's like, I don't really give a fuck.
Yeah, I'm just,
you know what I mean? I'm just happy
I'm just
to be here,
to be
you know.
Yeah. So when that opportunity comes along, I'm like, yes, of course, I'm ecstatic about it.
Right.
You know.
To quote Miklo from Blood In, Blood Out, you know, when you expect nothing right. and get everything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's
everybody
what it's like.
Everybody kind of knows this.
Yeah.
You know, and I think I got to, which is kind of cool. It's kind of, like you said, it's a nice vacation from our reality. Like, I'm out here, and I got to do a couple radio interviews and pretend that I was someone for a minute, you know, because they don't know.
They
don't know. You know, they just know I'm on the show. They don't know that I'm going to go back tomorrow and type up boring reports,
fucking
you know, at my day job. Yeah, exactly.
Right. Well, I mean, I thought I was, you know, look, I was watching, reading my Facebook, and mm-hmm. Al Madrigal posted something that I thought was interesting. He posted, he goes, man, he's like, I still feel like the young guy. You know, and I still feel like the young guy in the business. I mean, you know, yes. I mean, I still get excited. I mean, I did a show with Bob Odenkirk, Sarah Silverman, Natasha Leggero, the dude from I forget his name, from Paul Schaefer from the League. You know, and I still get excited.
Yeah.
I still get like, oh shit, and dude, Sarah Silverman. We're on first name basis. I mean, I chat with her all the time.
Right.
But I'm still like, oh shit, fucking Sarah Silverman, man. Right. You know what I mean?
Right. No, and Jake, I mean,
like that. You know what I mean?
Me and Jake had a 9-hour car drive over here, and it flew. I think because we were both so excited. I was excited one because of the Paul, but we were also both excited about coming here to eat. Just work with you again.
I get it, dude. I'm not Paul. I get it.
No. but we feel like we have, I guess, a friendship with you.
Of course.
We talk to you on a regular basis. But then we're also excited about coming to the comic strip, man.
Right.
I mean, it is. It's a real comedy club.
Yeah.
It's a real comedy club, you know. And oh man, it was the first place to headline Fluffy, and you know, Freddie Soto was there, and,
right.
You know, and it's like
first place to headline George Lopez,
right? Yeah, and you want to be part of that.
Sure,
you
want to be able to
foot
stay
in the door,
right.
Man.
Right.
Yeah, that's what it is.
You know, it makes you feel like a real boy for a minute. You
yeah,
know?
Like a real comic, man. Right. You know, and you get to come out here, and then you get to do the. It's like I said, it's that little vacation of this week I'm a comic.
Yeah.
Still a dad, still a husband,
right.
Still an employee, but this fucking weekend.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And it's exciting, man, and it's fun. And you know, when I was the same way. I didn't know any better. You know, before you knew it, you know, somebody go, hey, man, come to Austin with me.
Right.
Okay, I'll be there. Because I was living in Dallas, you know. Oh, fuck, okay. You know, hey, you know what? Help me do this. Oh, all right, yeah, you know, sure. You know, hey, can you do this for me, Steve? I need, you know, John Panette. I always tell this story. John Panette would go to fucking Target, buy me X thread count queen sheets. And every night, you're going to change my sheets. Fresh, brand new sheets.
Wow.
Well, the fucking dude would hand me $1,000 because these fucking sheets were not cheap, dude. Right. And then I'd end up with $200. I'm like, here's your change. He's like, yeah, keep it. I'm like, holy shit, John Panette, fucking, you know what I mean?
$200.
And then I'd take all the sheets at the end of the week. At the end of the week, I was like, fuck, dude, I got sheets for fucking
days.
And
then you went on eBay, what's my fucking sheets?
Yeah, expensive ass fucking sheets, you know? But, you know, stuff like that where I just did it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it was like, dude, the guy asked me, I think he's really funny, I'll do it.
Right. Well, you know? You have that hunger, man. I mean, you just didn't do that. You know, some people are like, oh, fuck that, I got too much pride to do
Ended
this.
Up on the road with Mencia, you know, and then that's when things got weird, you know, and Mencia was like, look, dude, you're either my guy or you're not.
Right.
You can't open for George anymore. You can't open for David Tell anymore. You can't open for anybody else but me.
Right.
Which I do the opposite to Jesus.
Right.
I tell Jesus, get work, man. Wherever the fuck you can get work, get to work.
Because but you kind of needed that. That showed you what kind of headliner you didn't want to be.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Right. I learned a lot from how not to be. Right. You know, and Mencia does a lot of things that are really smart. And you know what I mean? But, you know, that's what I told Jesus. I'm like, dude, I don't want you to be my guy.
Right.
Because that's what happens. You know what I mean? Like, you at the comedy store, I don't know if you guys have heard of the roast battle.
Mm.
But there's a Tuesday night roast battle. There's this new kid named Frank Castillo that I kind of started helping out or whatever, and he was in one of the roast battles, and sure enough, you know, oh, Steve's bitch, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then Kyle Ray roast in the roast battle, same thing. Oh, fucking Kyle Ray, Steve's bitch. Why you wearing a fucking cowboy shirt? Like, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
So even if I tell these guys, you're not my guy, you do whatever you want,
right?
But it's going to happen. So for me, only being Mencia's guy was hard.
Right. Because, well, we even get it back home. I mean... Oh yeah! Oh yeah! Y'all are Steve Trevino's boys. Y'all are boys with Steve. So y'all do shows.
So yeah,
with
fuck
Steve.
You! I'm going to El Paso.
Yeah, see you later, dude.
Later, bitch.
Yeah. But it's tough, you know. And I mean, Mencia, you know, Mencia had that keep you down attitude,
right?
You know, because of fear. He was afraid, and now I realize it more. Now that I've been in the business longer, I realize it more now because there is only one spot every 10 years.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it was Paul, then it was George, then it was Mencia. Like, who's next? It's one at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So Mencia was making sure, hey, nobody's going to see this fucking Steve Trevino kid.
Right.
Because what do they skip me? What do they skip my turn? You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, look, dude, Cristela Alonso got a TV show. I didn't get a TV show.
Right.
Cristela did. You know? Ni modo, what am I going to do? You know? I never thought that she'd have a sitcom. You know?
Yeah. But why is it only one at a time? Because they don't want to show that we're not all the same. We don't all think the same. You know, we have different point of
they
views.
They don't get it. We could sit there and have this conversation all day. And the sad part is, Cristela failed, and had it been hugely successful, the floodgates open. Mm-hmm. If it's making a ton of money, they go, oh, fuck. CBS goes, we need our Mexican. Fuck, we got to get our Mexican, because, man, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So with Cristela failing, it's like, oh, shit, now what? Now they're, and which is funny to me, because then they say things like, well, we tried it. Didn't work.
Right.
Really? How many fucking failed white sitcoms are there?
Yeah.
Right.
You know, you don't say that to the white guys. Oh, man, we tried that white shit. It, you know what I mean?
No more white people.
Didn't work. Yes. So, you know, I understand why Mencia was like, you know, fuck you.
Right.
I want my turn. Right. You know what I mean? And why George Lopez is the way that George Lopez is. Because he's like, fuck you, I suffered, I dealt with it, right. Fuck you, why should you get it easy?
Yeah.
That's his attitude.
Mm-hmm.
My attitude is, if Jesus passes me up, then I hope that I was good enough to Jesus and good enough friends with Jesus that he brings me along.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. That's my philosophy. Dude, it's so weird, man. Sometimes the dumbest shit I post gets the most likes.
Yeah.
Right? Like, yeah. Sometimes I'm like, ooh, this can be a good one. And then nothing. And then sometimes I go, ah, let's just randomly do this.
When you don't have expectations.
That's right, brother. And you get everything.
Yeah. That's usually how it works, man.
I told the mother.
Well, this mother. It's like your mother's love. He's not even Mexican.
The Benjamin Brad, no.
Bro, he gets more Mexican parts than Mexicans. Right. And he's not even Mexican.
I know. Fucked up.
Well, let's start wrapping it up, Mr. Okay. Javi. Any other questions, bud?
Yeah, why do you hate John Mayer, man? No, I'm just kidding.
I don't hate John Mayer.
No, I'm a fan. That's why.
Any other questions?
No questions.
Well, we were talking about, we'll wrap it up with this, and I think Jacob kind of learned a valuable lesson this week, and that is, you know, when it's go time, you perform.
Yes.
And you know, a lot of young comics think, well, I don't want to do this hacky shit, or I know this joke is a simple, easy joke, or mm-hmm. I know I'm pandering to the crowd, or you know what I mean?
Mm.
Well, but you got to do it. Right. You know, it's showtime, baby. Fun, go up there and give the audience what they want.
Oh, definitely.
You know, especially when you're a young comic. Like, you know, you're not going to write amazing shit yet.
Right.
You know, Kyle has that joke about, you know, Mexicans and checkers, you know.
Yeah.
He fucking hates that joke.
Right.
But I'm like, I go, dude, you know, that's your opener. Because you know it's a fucking grand slam. You know, and he's like, yeah, but it's hacky and I fucking hate it and it's a stupid joke. And I'm like, it doesn't matter.
Right.
These people paid to see a show. Give it to them. You know, and Jacob, I think, when he first got here, was worried about, oh, I don't want to taco it up, and I don't want Steve to think this, and
right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And then after a while, we had that talk, and Jacob's like, oh, I get it.
Mm.
Fuck yeah, you know what I mean? I'll fucking do what I got to do. And then now we've been having amazing
fucking
sets.
Badass right. Fucking shows.
You know?
Yeah.
So... All right. Well, we got to go. All
right.
Remember, please share it. I hate that, dude.
Share.
It's so hard for me to ask.
Well, you're going to lose one because I already know what we said, so I'm not going to listen.
So you're not going to listen to this one? Yeah, you're already on it.
Go ahead. No, I'll listen to it.
Share, tweet it, review it. The reviews help. Please review it. Somebody, even if you hate it, fuck it. Javi, what's your Twitter handle and all that good stuff?
Instagram and Twitter, Javi Luna Comedy, and Facebook, Comedian Javi Luna.
And why Comedian Javi Luna?
Because I started when I was 2 months, and I know what else to call it.
You could have just been Javi Luna.
Yeah. Well, if you Google Javi Luna, you'll find boxers and a character from Orange County or the OC or something like that. There were some... Latin lover, singer guy on the show called Javi Luna, and then you also get the Dirty Dancing remake guy, who's actually Diego Luna, who played a character named Javier, but that comes up as well. So that's put comedian, put go to Google, put comedian and Javi Luna, and my stuff will come up.
Very good. And Jacob,
J Rod Comedy, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, same shit. J Rod Comedy, that's it.
Javi Luna is a minor character on 90210.
90210, that was it.
And portrayed by Diego Gonzalez.
He's
funny.
He looked it up a lot.
Hmm? All right. And as for me, you should know how to find me by now. Thank you to the 6-7 listeners we have. Thank you. That's Kyle. All right, we're wrapping it up. It's another episode of The Process. Thanks for hanging.
Hell yeah! Hell yeah!